on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Vanciulello.
All right, man. So, the Cyclones with a dominant win, 52-7. And basically everything we talked about on Thursday, Cody, everything happened for us. It was a very, very offensively balanced game. 237 yards rushing, 4.9 yards for carry. What are your thoughts?
Just a thorough victory. I think it was from start to finish, just kind of what I wanted to see. It was just us coming out of the bye week. I didn't want it, like, anything to slack off, and I think the team certainly met and exceeded those expectations. I did not foresee the fact that we would continue to, like, put our foot on the neck, as the saying goes, you know, even in that blown fourth quarter. I wasn't expecting to continue opening the playbook, especially to our back, Connor Mobley. So that was not something I saw coming.
Yeah, a lot of people were surprised by the Connor Mobley thing because everybody thought it was going to be T.J. Cole. I'm like, well, I mean, obviously it's Mobley because Mobley's been playing better in practice. So the coaches obviously think that Mobley is better. But, I mean, we saw him basically for the whole entire half. And I got to say, man, I like what I see, and the future is definitely bright for the Cyclones at quarterback.
Absolutely. Just obviously having the being there and seeing everything go on in real time, just amazing showing. I would have to say this, I mentioned earlier, but balance on both sides of the ball, in fact, almost 500 yards of total offense. And it was almost a 50-50 split, actually, between rushing and passing.
Uh-huh. It was like 252 in the air, 237 on the ground. Like, see, nah, in a perfect world, that's what we want to see. That's like the typical, that's like, it's going to be our typical offense. Now, obviously, you know, a perfect world don't exist, but like, you know, I think it got me more encouraged about the run game this year.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at, like, I mean, on paper, Abu Samad didn't do too much, but that's because, like, he didn't really need to do too much. We were just seeing, like, where our depth is and how developed they are. And, I mean, Jalen Jackson, I'd say, out of the running back room, him and Carson Hanson were the two main stars. And Jalen Jackson himself, some great runs, and then Carson Hanson with those two TDs, like, it shows we had depth at the running back room, so, and that's going to be really key for the late, like, the Big 12 play later in the year, like October, November, when you start really trying to get to that, get to Arlington, get to the Big 12 title game. You're going to need that depth.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was just laughing yesterday during the game because, bro, Abu is making them dudes look silly with those stiff arms. And then on the same drive, he stiff-armed the same guy with the opposite arm. I'm like, wow. Dude,
yeah, no. Watching that play, I'm thinking, like, I think Arkansas State went to the wrong place to be doing a slip and slide. Like, if they wanted to go ahead and go slip and slide, and they should have just gone down 30 minutes south all the way to Adventureland, go to the Adventure Bay.
Right. It was crazy, dude. I was like, yo, I'm like, Abu ain't playing, man.
Yeah, not just him. Jalen Noll even caught a few guys slipping as well. He put one guy straight on his bottom. Like, he just sat him down.
Yeah, I know, you know, because everybody was sort of like being, like, shaking scary with Rocco. I'm like, y'all, I was like, look, Rocco is going off a little bit slow. Like, yes, he threw a bad pick, but As we saw, he responded. I was like, y'all, I was like, relax. I was like, this game is not in danger. If anything, it really just has gotten me encouraged for the rest of the season, man. Just the sky is definitely the limit for this team. At least now we know. And let's talk about Aiden Flohr. I'm so happy for him that he got that touchdown at the end of the game. I was really, really happy. I know he was a local Des Moines guy.
Yeah, I mean, he, at the end of the game, just absolutely finds himself a lane and gets himself a touchdown. That's great to see. Like, I think at that point, we were down to, what, our fourth or fifth stringers. And they're still – we didn't lay back on the play. We didn't lay back. We let the guys just do what the first stringers do. So, shows that we meant to make this game more of a development type of game. We didn't hold back.
Yeah, I think that's – the number one takeaway in this game is that we didn't hold back, man. We were going to be aggressive from the start, which, like, is totally against usually what Matt Campbell goes with. But hey, maybe, you know, with every year he goes here, he's will adjust. And now we know that, like, Mouse has full, you know, Mouse has definite full control of this offense, just with the different types of play calling. I really, really like that Maryland eye, or I'll just call it the Cyclone eye formation.
Yeah.
That's going to be nice getting into the red zone.
Absolutely. I mean, when I saw the Maryland, or the Cyclone eye, as we have to call it now, yeah. Seeing a formation like that, especially in goal line situations, it's almost perfect. Like, you get your two tight ends who actually, throughout the game, they've been the tight end room was blocking so well. Yesterday, they were doing so well in the blocking game. It made touchdowns almost easy. I mean, Dylan Leon, his touchdown run was untouched.
Tyler Moore, he went in. And the Titans just were very, very involved in the offense yesterday. Just with play action. I look for that to be a big, big, big part of the game plan, especially next week into the Houston game.
Yeah, so I guess kind of from you, like, what was your best plays? Like, what was, like, your play, like, the play for you from that game?
It's probably going to be the obvious one, but, man, it's got to be that one hand, that fake QB sneak and throws a little jump pass, and Ben Bramer comes out, reaches out with his paw, and grabs it in. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, we knew this kid was athletic, but my God, dude. That was nuts. What about for you?
I mean, yeah, I probably would have to say the exact same thing. I think that's, like, the play for everybody to take away from this game. I mean, you talk about the athleticism of Ben Bramer, but obviously, like, if you look at it from a more analytical standpoint, like, you more look at it from a Tennessee standpoint, I mean, it makes sense. Like, to put on that situation, it just reminded me exactly what happened about, like, last year, actually, with Easton Dean, kind of had a similar play and essentially just, like, had our tight end just go up, like, off a fake QB sneak. Because Rocco Beck had already shown he could QB sneak. So it was great for Malzahn to call that, knowing that Arkansas State would bite on that fake and just get it over the top and just get it to your playmaker. Ben Bramer made a play.
I'm just glad they left that in the playbook, because you can definitely catch a defense slipping on that. That's definitely one of the things, you know, for me. And this is my closing thoughts, at least for this, and then we're definitely gonna talk tons of Big 12. There's so much that I wanna say and so many irrational thoughts I have for Iowa State. But man, we gotta give off the offensive line credit, man. They were mauling yesterday. Like, you know, we've been talking about, man, I really want this offensive line to improve. They definitely have taken the steps. Jalen Travis, man, was as advertised, dude. That big hoss on the offensive line has made such a difference. Definitely needs more reps at left tackle, but, man, he did great yesterday.
Yeah. And speaking of that, Dylan Barrett on the line as well. I got to see some of Dylan Barrett. I was actually pretty stoked to see that he was a starter on the offensive line, and he did his job as well. I mean, open up running lanes, protecting the quarterback, and that's what you want to see. And I wasn't coming into this game expecting our offensive line to be top of the league, but at least, like, half. So it's a good step up. It's a step up from where we were, like, previous years. So we're going to see that line playing if we can continue to dominate like that, I think there's going to be no limit to where Iowa State's offense can go.
Oh, definitely, man. When you have a good offensive line, you're basically able to do anything.
Yeah. All right, man. So, just checking in before we get into the rest of the stuff here. Actually, the AP poll has just released for week four, yesterday's slated games, and the Iowa State Cyclones are on the up. They're up from number 20 up to number 18 in the AP poll.
Man, let's go, bro. Man, I like they keep inching up, like, and these next few weeks are gonna be crucial, man. I mean, we're really, really gonna see the maturation of this team, to see how far they've grown, and you know we'll get to see it in real time. My Iowa game really, really showed me something. My bold or slash hot take is, Cody, I think we are going to still be undefeated going into the second bye week. Like, I truly believe that we're going to be 7-0 going into this bye week.
What?
You can clip it, whatever y'all clip it, clown me. I don't care. Tag me on my Twitter. You know where to find me. But yeah. Like, I truly think that we can be 7-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, with the way Iowa State's looking, and we'll get to the rest of the Big 12 in a second here, but the way the rest of the conference is laying out, it's looking prime for the taking for Iowa State to be 7-0 heading into the second bye week, getting into that home stretch in November. So, yeah, I mean, let's go take a look around the Big 12, see what everybody was up to.
Yeah, I'm going to share my screen real quick. 1 second. Do. Screen. And boom. Here we go. All right. So we're going to go down. We'll go.
Yeah, I might be able to filter just by Big 12 conference. You can do that.
All right. Yeah, sorry. There we go. Big 12, and boom. Okay. So, the first score shows us Utah and Oklahoma State. Cam Rising was a game-time decision in this game. He didn't end up playing, but Isaac Wilson came in there and did well. Dorian Singer had a great game, a guy we talked about in the preview pod on Utah. And Michael Bernard, 182 yards. Utah had an impressive road win. Utah looks good, man.
Yeah, I mean, they dominated from start to finish. The final score is a little deceiving, but it was all Utah from the jump. Like, they just controlled the line of scrimmage. They were more physical. They were better, like, in play, and their defense really showed out for that 95% of the game. They showed out.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's offense could not get it going. Alan Bowman struggled, man, in this game, and they went to their backup at one point. So gonna be it. That was an interesting game. Now Utah has the leg up, and now it bodes for Oklahoma State to have an interesting matchup, man. They got to play at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan next week. And funny thing is that the next thing, I think this is probably the most surprising result. Man, K-State goes up to Provo at night and gets destroyed 38-9. I mean, I don't know what K-State was doing. I don't know why they're trying to make Avery Johnson a drop-back passer, but that's what they did, and they're not letting them really use his strengths. So I was really sort of dumbfounded by K-State's offensive approach.
Yeah, I mean, just people said it before, obviously. Big, like, going to Provo at night is one of the most intimate atmospheres playing, and obviously Iowa State, we controlled it from the we controlled that last year. We showed like it wasn't as meant to be, but I guess that's just kind of a one-off because K-State clearly has been the pro-go. And, I mean, they were actually a 7.5-point favorite on the line. And, I mean, if you had BYU, I mean, if it was me personally, I would have actually gone BYU to cover the spread because I think just how BYU plays at night, knowing that atmosphere and the fans, that would be a difficult place to play, and they certainly showed it. I mean, Jake Retzlaff actually had a pretty solid performance. He did what he needed to do. That defense of BYU was absolutely on point, getting a couple picks off of Avery Johnson. And then talk about the punt return that almost went bad for BYU, but then all the way to the end zone, circled back around, basically at his own two, and he ends up in the end zone for a BYU touchdown.
That return was unreal. I was like, wow. Got the corner, and he was just running down the sideline. And then, yeah, Houston, Cincinnati, man. And now, like, BYU looks like a force now with that defense, bro. BYU looks like a force, man. They're tied with Utah at 4-0. Obviously, it's early, but I'm not going to lie. I did not expect this from BYU.
Now, like, I'm thinking, like, it's just because, like, I think now BYU is actually acclimating to the Big 12. I still had, like, even last year when they first joined the Big 12, I had pretty high hopes for them. And last year, obviously, was a learning experience for the team, learning what it's like to play in the Big 12. And I think now with that experience under their belt, I think BYU is ready to go ahead and be a top half team in the Big 12.
Definitely. We shall see what happens. And, yeah, since Cincinnati is also on the roll, I believe they're also still undefeated right now. They blank Houston 34-0. Man, this was just an ugly showing by the Cougs.
Houston, man, like, for that little brief moment when we thought maybe Houston would have been, like, solid after their losing by 4 to Oklahoma and then going and destroying Rice, winning 33-7. Some people were saying, okay, we got to watch out for Houston here. I think even Iowa State fans in our game, we were a little concerned that maybe Houston was scarier than we thought. But now with the showing that they had against Cincinnati, I don't feel as scared of it now because at the end, their quarterback went Donovan Smith, 11-16, 73 yards and only in a pick. And so basically, they only had 233 yards of total yards and 3 turnovers. So I'm thinking for Iowa State, I mean, we'll look more at this later, but if we can force Houston to turn the ball over, we can easily win. We could win that game convincingly.
Oh, definitely, bro. I'm really, really confident going into next week. And yeah, with Cincinnati, Scott Satterfield has these boys rolling. And you know, everybody was like, "Oh yeah, they're gonna be the worst team." Now, hey, they're 4-0. I mean, so it's gonna be interesting to see how they fare. Cincinnati is up there right now. There's just a whole lot of stuff right now. The Big 12 is chaotic, Cody, and I love it.
Yep.
And then let's go to the pissed off fans bowl, Kansas versus West Virginia. This game was a little bit weird because there was a few hour lightning delay. And at that point, Kansas was up 21-17. And and West Virginia outscored them the rest of the game 15-7. And West Virginia ends up pulling out close one 32-28.
And the thing is, even after that lightning delay, Kansas actually went up another touchdown. So they had about an 11-point lead with, I'd say, like 3.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so they got a touchdown. Yeah, they had an 11-point lead with about 5.5 minutes to go, excuse me. So about that. So, and this is what West Virginia actually ran into just the previous week when they had a 10-point lead in the backyard brawl and lost it. They gave Kansas a taste of what they felt last week. So that was what you see. And then obviously just Kansas, man. Like, I think Jalon Daniels is clearly not that dude. It will be clear that he had no expectations. He outperformed them. And then Devin Neal, that team last year, I don't know where all that hype from last week, how they got carried over this year.
Well, we figured out that it was all Andy Kotelnicki, and Andy Kotelnicki ended up being a bigger difference on for Jalen Daniels than we thought.
Yep, and now the Kansas fan base wants Jeff Grimes fired into the sun.
Yeah, Jeff all Grimes.
All of KU Twitter.
Jeff, yeah, dude, Jeff Grimes is not a good offensive coordinator.
Nope.
At all. And here was another sneaky good matchup in the Big 12. Texas Tech pulls out a win over previously undefeated Arizona State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Arizona State. This was a pivotal game, I said. Arizona State, Texas Tech, that was going to be pivotal for those two programs. Would Arizona State be truly who they were in the non-con, or would Texas Tech even get back on their feet after that loss at Washington State?
Yeah, Texas Tech showed that they're still up. Don't forget about us. So they showed that yesterday. Arizona State's still going to be a tough out. Obviously, I they have my respect now. And this one, just an ugly game, man. TCU gets blown out by SMU 66-42. Man, that defense is putrid.
Yes, man, it is.
I don't know what they did. And TCU's coach got ejected in this game, which is absolutely crazy.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, Sonny Dykes before TCU was actually the former head coach of SMU, so it felt like kind of poetic for SMU to host TCU in that manner and for them to put up 66 points. Like, that's unexcusable, like, for TCU. Like, there's no reason you should be allowing 66 points for any opponent, even if it was against you. Like, that should not be what should be accepted. And TCU, man, from being in the national championship 2 years ago to what they are now, that needs to be studied. That needs to be studied.
I think I might have a theory. I think he may have won with Gary Patterson's players. I mean, because that roster is not as good as it was. There was so much NFL talent on that roster, and now it's just like, man, where did that all go? They were active in the transfer portal, but being active in the transfer portal doesn't mean that they're automatically going to hit. Like, I think that's what we're going to learn in this era of college football. Nope. And lastly, man, this was a bonkers game. Man, Colorado pulls out the win over Baylor in overtime. Baylor was up 21-10 in this game in the third quarter at this point.
Yeah, I think it was actually 24-10. They were up 14.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, before Colorado got a touchdown just before halftime. So they were up at that point, and yeah, this was just a wild, chaotic game, especially like in the fourth quarter and overtime. I mean, talk about like what happened like right at the end of the game where you had the receiver of Colorado, ball hits his like chest right there, and that could have easily been a walk-in touchdown, but he drops it. But then they still get the touchdown anyways on the next play, and they go to overtime. Then Colorado gets another TD because I think they started overtime with the ball.
Yeah, they did.
Toss, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Yeah. And then Baylor was on offense, and he had the running back, I believe, dive for the end zone, try and tie the game. Ball's fumbled. It goes out of the end zone for a Colorado touchback, and it's a win. And you see all the Colorado, like the students just rushing the field, although there was still a review because the official had to make sure if either he did fumble before breaking the plane or not, and Baylor touchdown. So it's just wild seeing all the Colorado fans just rush on the field, like waiting outside like the 25-yard line.
Right. Yeah, man. That was an interesting game by Baylor, and it was a boneheaded call at the end of the game, coaching wise, by Dave Aranda, because he called a timeout that didn't even need to be called.
No, it was incomplete. So the clock would have stopped anyways.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, because it was an incomplete pass. Yeah, the clock stopped anyways. I'm guessing he called a timeout because like to get his defense set. And unfortunately, the defense wasn't meant to be. But still,
gotcha. Yeah, That, yeah, that's unfortunate. Now they move to 2-2, and I believe they're on bye week next week. Before they play us and Ames, that's going to be the whiteout game.
Oh, yeah, that whiteout game. I'm hoping it's just going to be one of those special things. I'm just like thinking, need to come out of a win against Houston, like kind of take care of business against Houston overall. So that's what I'm looking for. And yeah.
Yeah, you have any other thoughts?
Not really. Just, I mean, Matt Campbell has now tied Dan McCartney for the most wins as an Iowa State head coach. Next week, he's going to go for the Al Wright record. So let's got to see where we go. And again, Iowa State finally starts conference play. Just got to see where we're at. But I'm feeling really good about this team. I think this team's going to have something special. It's got like similar expectations, maybe to the 21 team, but I think we have more substance now because we have like younger players. We have an offensive coordinator who's much more open to opening the book. And I think we're going to be able to utilize our talent more and be a better squad than that squad was.
I think the one thing that separates the 21 and 24 teams is that the 24 team has a lot more mental toughness. That 21 team definitely would have folded during that Iowa game. We've seen it before. So, like, man, the mental toughness of this team, I think it's definitely going to be a difference, which is why I think we're going to get to the goals to where we need to be.
Yeah. And, I mean, Arlington's there. Maybe the playoff is right there as well. Who knows?
Sky is the limit. All right, guys, thank you for joining us. Join us on Wednesday night as we do our preview for the Houston Cougars. We will have a guest, so it's going to be a treat. You guys will enjoy our guest. Find him at Matt Campbell Impersonator. Find me at SciTyGuy on Twitter. Also follow our pages, Believe in Iowa State on Facebook, X and Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. For Tyler Carter,
Cody Manciolello,
this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Go Cyclones.